I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, folks. Friday, October the 18th. What a beautiful day. More than halfway through the month of October, just flying by. Hope you're having a great Friday morning. The weather looks great. A lot to do this weekend. We're going to jump right into this. Secretary Richard Nelson is going to join us. He is the Secretary of the Louisiana Department of Revenue. We're going to try and flesh out some more details about the tax reformation package that's being brought forth in a special session by Governor Jeff Landry. We'll start out that hour with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. We'll get the latest on presidential polls. At 11:30, Jan Moeller, Invest in Louisiana. He's not really excited about this flak tax, and he says it wouldn't fix Louisiana's problems, and we'll flesh out his thoughts relative to same. Jeff Nowak joins us, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. We will do the postmortem on last night's game. I watched every minute from beginning to end. It was a little painful, to say the least. Joining us now, Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. He joins us very frequently on the show, and we appreciate same. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday, Newell.
Same to you, my friend. A lot going on, obviously. We had Francine hit us. Helene moved through Florida and some of the eastern seaboard states. Milton followed almost that same path. A lot of devastation there. I know you get this question a lot. People are wondering, does this impact this insurance industry, and do we see that it'll have an impact on rates in the near future?
Yeah, and you're right. I do get the question, and obviously, you know, our hearts and minds and prayers are with our fellow citizens in those states that are impacted, as well as with, you know, our citizens here in Louisiana that are still recovering from Francine. But look, the losses are, you know, the estimates are still coming in, and it is early. But the reports I see, the reinsurance brokers and reinsurers that I talk to, they're all saying that, you know, so far it appears that these are going to be manageable losses, meaning they're not excessive. And mm-hmm. And I think, Newell, it's important to, and we talk about reinsurance a lot, and it is a global market, as we know. You know, events that happen in, whether it's North Carolina or California or Europe or, you know, around the world, you know, have the potential to impact. But there was a report I was looking at earlier this week that the reinsurance losses for this year, for 2024, are below projections, and I know, look, we've still got 2.5 months to go to get out of this year, but
please, Tim, knock on some wood. Knock on it right now.
All right. That's right. Yeah. Tap on it several times. But look, but I do want to point out that there, you know, even as frequent as we've been hit here in the U.S. with events, catastrophic events, it is a global, there's a global impact. So, right. So far, those estimates are, the, you know, the current losses have come in below. So, you know, things are tracking. I did see something that, you know, I've seen two reports. One says they think that reinsurance renewals are going to be flat or maybe slightly, you know, a point or two increase. So, you know, again, all in all, that's fairly good news.
I bring it back to Louisiana. I've talked to a couple of folks, talked to my insurance broker. My policies actually expire in October for homeowners. And citizens' premiums that they were offering and their renewals actually went down from last year. Thoughts on that? I was very surprised, actually substantially.
Yeah, and you know, Citizens is currently going through their calculations for what rates are going to be for the upcoming year, and I haven't seen the finalization on that, but I think that would be, that, you know, that's probably indicative of what people can expect. You know, We've got inflation. You know, inflation has started to come down. That's going to help because, you know, certainly inflation was a portion or a reason for some of the increase that we've all been experiencing. You know, cost of building materials is up, labor's up, everything else. And so, you know, as soon as we get that final calculation and it can be made public, we certainly will.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you have been on a kind of a two-day tour throughout southeast Louisiana, a bunch of meetings with folks. What are you hearing?
Yeah, you know, we were over on the North Shore Tuesday and Wednesday, and actually Thursday I went up to Bossier and spoke to the chamber up there that day. But Tuesday, you know, we've been in Covington, Franklin, Mandeville, Hammond, Lacombe, Slidell, various meetings with, you know, with roofing companies, with realtors, mortgage lenders, chambers. We had two town hall meetings, one Tuesday night in Mandeville, and then Wednesday night was in Slidell. And no, I think as you can expect, you know, people are primarily focused on the homeowners first, and then the unaffordability of their autos second. And, you know, as I've been out and telling people, you know, we have made progress on the homeowners. I know we've talked about it on your show several times. You know, the statement I still feel comfortable saying is that we are on the right path. You know, we meaning the legislature, the governor, got behind the property reform that we needed to do where Louisiana was an outlier so that we could help attract more companies and more capital to Louisiana, and we are seeing that. And consumers can expect to see that once these companies get out and actually start quoting business. And, you know, I think as I said on your show before too, you know, they're not going to come in and start quoting during hurricane season, but I think a reasonable expectation would be, you know, November, December, certainly by January.
Absolutely. So you mentioned auto. So what's actually happening on that front? I know that there's been some hearings up in Baton Rouge relative to that. We talked a little bit about that during the last show. What's the latest there?
Yeah, you know, we you know, the legislative bodies, the committees that are primarily focused on this, which is House and Senate Insurance Committees, House Civil Law and Senate Judiciary A, started holding hearings in July, and they've held them every month since. And the focus there, Newell, and for your listeners is, you know, we all know that it's expensive. We all, you know, and y'all have heard me say, and you look at the other states, you know, we're paying the highest premiums in the country for our personal auto, but also our commercial vehicle insurance, our commercial trucking is unaffordable, just outrageously unaffordable. And so those hearings have been focused on what drives the cost. You know, why are insurance companies having to charge the levels of premiums that they are? And, you know, a lot of the testimony is around, and if, you know, I say it's simple, but it's not. It's insurance, so it is complex. But, you know, the more an insurance company pays out in a claim, the more they have to charge in premium to offset that claim expense. And so we're getting to those cost drivers. We're talking about, you know, why is a claim so expensive in Louisiana? And Newell, you know, the intent of those committees is at the end, and I believe we're going to have another round in November with I believe the final one in December, is to come up with legislative solutions to help reduce the expense, the claim expense, not the fact that you've had a claim, but the claim expense.
So when you say that, meaning what? You know, so like in the auto world, meaning, let's break it down. You typically have two types of losses, right? Property damage and personal injury.
And then the liability portion, right, which is your you know, your medical and anything else other than the physical.
Right.
But no, here's a good example. I was recently meeting with some insurance folks, and it was a particular company, and they ride in all 50 states, commercial trucking, commercial auto. And they showed us their number of what an average claim cost in Louisiana versus what the average of all the other states combined. And it was $113,000 was their average claim in Louisiana versus $37,000 for their average claims for all the other states. So that's what we've got to get to. Why is that so much more expensive? You know, why is our medical cost so much more expensive? Why is the legal cost? You know, and again, legal's both sides. It's not just the attorneys that bring the litigation. You know, when insurance companies get litigated against, they also have defense costs. So we need to look and explore and bring transparency to that. Why that number is so high in Louisiana. And as one of the chairmen from those committees says, we're going to have a lot. We have to have a lot of uncomfortable conversations, in order to bring transparency on where these claims dollars are going.
Well, I don't think it's actually uncomfortable at all. I mean, I'm kind of mystified when people make that statement. You know, it is what it is, and these numbers ain't going to change. I think as opposed to looking at total claims costs, the more relevant and more productive way of looking at is to divide it up into the buckets of the claim, and start with property damage. Are we out of kilter there, and why? And try to figure that out.
We have.
But that typically has little or nothing to do with the claimant, right? I mean, if you have damage to your car, my most recent experience was kind of interesting for me because I'd never really been in an auto accident where I had to handle something myself. And, I get into this argument with the insurer about whether or not the insurance company of the party that's liable, they want to put non-original equipment manufactured products on my car. I said, well, if I wanted that, and I only had 5,000 miles on my car, I would have bought a used car. And I do know that, my car manufacturer won't certify my car, and there's a diminution in value the moment in time that you put a non-OEM part on my car. Are you willing to pay the diminution of value number if you're going to go down that route? Well, no. I said, well, why is the guilty party being the beneficiary of this and I'm suffering the consequence? And I said, well, that's just the way it is, and you need to go to one of our preferred providers. I said, well, no, that's not happening because I'm going to a certified body shop that certifies for this manufactured type of vehicle, and that's the way it's going to be. And you are not going to put a non-OEM part on my car. And, I mean, we went round and round for days, and it's this big game that they play. To see if you're going to succumb to the pressure and do this. And I realized you're really pushing people to say, screw this. I'm just going to sue them because I'm not engaging in this activity any longer. And I don't know if their approach is different in Louisiana than it is in Texas. I am actually told by lawyers that defended these insurance companies that it's vastly different, that their attitude is incredibly different about the way that they approach claimants. And I hope and pray that the committee looks really hard at this. And a lot of these folks don't want to go on the record. They're friends of mine. We went to law school together. But they tell me privately, night and day, the approach in Louisiana as opposed to other states. And it's going to be hard to quantify it. But, the question is why? And why are we even engaging in this argument? I mean, nobody wants a piece of equipment that's less than on their car, right? Do you? I don't. And why am I being compelled to have that argument with these people?
You're bringing up something which is important, which is your personal claims experience, and you're right. And I think it's good to question, like you did. Has the insurance industry decided that they're going to just use Louisiana and treat all their claimants more severely using your experience than they are in other markets where they have much more market share? I think that's a valid question. I can tell you the evidence that we see is that's not the case. You'd mentioned on the last program about how whatever it costs to repair a headlight. I think you said it was like $3,700 or something like that.
$3,250 each.
There you go. That headlight doesn't cost more in Houston, Texas, if that's where you had gotten your wreck and that's where you had had your car repaired. So it's not the cost of the coin. It's not the physical damage.
But you missed my point. My point My point was is that if I took those two lights and I added them up and it's like $6,500, the car costs $60,000. It can't be that the two headlights are 10% of the value of the car. Right? I said something's run amok here. And I wasn't blaming the insurance companies. But, you know, and I think everybody's in bed together. And, you know, we as claimants and we as insureds are sitting outside of the everybody's in bed together mentality. And I have to ask the question. I said, it can't be that the manufacturer of this automobile spends 10% of the value of the car in two headlights. No one's going to convince me of that. So at some point here along the supply chain, someone's making a boatload of money on headlights. And I'm curious as to why. And I don't think that's unique to Louisiana. I think you're right. It's the same in Texas and everything else. But when you start looking at some of the drivers of cost and in the property damage world, you begin to wonder, right? I mean, I think it's a legitimate question. I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams would say two headlights are 10% of the value of the car.
Right. I think you've got a point. And that's what we're looking at is that claim. I mean, we're trying to, like I said earlier, transparency. I want transparency over the entire process from the minute you write your premium check to when an insurance company closes a claim that you have. You know, I think we as citizens and ratepayers deserve to know why we are paying the highest rates in this country. You know, like I said, if your vehicle, and we can see what the national numbers are on the average cost of a physical damage claim. So and that's not the driver. We're not an outlier there. Even though it may be incredibly expensive in your example, that's not what's driving the cost of the claim.
Well, I keep hearing that, but I think it's worth the exercise to break it down in these individual categories. And that was my point, because, you know, if I go to a body shop and their work comp premium is 25% higher in Louisiana than it is in Texas or in Oklahoma, then it would make sense that the hourly rate in a body shop is going to be greater in Louisiana than it's going to be in these other states. But that's not the claimant's fault. And the point that I make is that a lot of times we make this real easy. And it's, as you pointed out, and you're right, it's a lot more complex. It's not an us versus them situation. There are so many intervening reasons as to why we find ourselves where we are. And we should identify it and call it out. Because if we're paying more per hour to fix our cars because work comp costs more, general liability costs more to run that particular business, the tax structure in this state requires more of that company. You know, and I, and this has been an argument at the national level right now because of the presidential race, corporations don't pay taxes. The consumers end up paying it in the value of what the service that they're paying for. And it would be a very interesting calculation to look and make the comparisons at that level to gain a better understanding as to why we pay more in the state of Louisiana. I think it's just too easy to vilify plaintiff's lawyers. And I've never really been pro plaintiff lawyer, but I just think it's too easy to just go right there. You know, and like I said, I haven't had many experiences, but I can tell you right now, and I've never been individually a litigant in my entire life, but I probably will be one here because of the way that I've been treated and, you know, their reluctance to give you anything as you need to be made whole. Because as you point out, their job is to drive down the claim costs. And if I view my job as I want to be made whole. I didn't do anything wrong. I just happened to go through an intersection on a green light and somebody ran a red light.
I mean, it's not binary like that. It's not one or the other. Both can be accomplished. They can make you whole and still bring down the ultimate cost of the claim.
But and I hear that all the time, but I'm curious, how that happens. In the property damage world, it is pretty much binary, right?
Well,
I mean,
if we're talking about cost drivers, and we're talking about physical damage right now, but if I told you that if the numbers were to demonstrate that if they paid out a dollar in claim and 60% was for the liability portion and 10% was for the physical damage, we're talking about the 10%, and whatever the percentage is, but the largest majority is not the physical damage. It's the non-physical damage. It's the it's the bodily injury component. It's the medical component. So if we want to try and make a difference, we need to focus on all of it, but we need to make sure that we're really paying attention to the driver of the
car. I'll tell you this anecdotal story, and maybe I shouldn't reveal this much about my own case. So I had a total shoulder replacement on my left side, right? So I'm having pain as a result of my accident. Now, through no fault of the insurance company, no fault of mine, it took weeks to get a CAT scan, right, in order to determine what's happening with me. Well, this injury has been elongated through no fault of my own, through no fault of the insurance company, waiting to get a CAT scan, right? So I'm entitled to some compensation for pain and suffering for the weeks that I'm waiting to get the CAT scan. I'm entitled for every day that I have to wait before I get medical care. That's not my fault, but they want to make it my fault. And I'm like, well, are you saying that I intentionally, and the physician that I went to, who's not a traditional plaintiff's lawyer, doctor, in fact, very much to the contrary, that we're in cahoots and we caused this to happen? Right now, getting a CAT scan in this medical market, average time 11 weeks. Now, that's not my fault, but the insurance company wants to take the position, well, that's not what the industry average is. Well, I don't give a shit about the industry average. That's not the industry average has no relevance to what it is here. I mean, I just didn't pull this out of the sky, you know, that I've had to wait. I don't want to wait. I want to get this thing resolved. I don't want to have pain. But, you know, and these are the things that I think we need to begin to look at. And a lot of people don't, because they gloss over it and they don't, you know, having served on a hospital board for 24 years, I know a lot about the supply chain of medical services in any particular region, because I've studied it for a long time. And those are the type of factors that I hope that we're going to look at, because that affects claimants through no fault of their own. And we want to blame others.
And like I said, these committees are looking at all of these. I'm not even
legally represented. I'm not legally represented right now. So there's no lawyer pushing me one way or the other on this issue. But you won't get anybody to believe that, right? And we won't spend a lot of time looking at it. Do you have a few more minutes, Tim, to stay with us after the break?
Yeah, I sure do.
Great. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, and we were talking about some of the hearings that are being held in Baton Rouge relative to auto insurance. And Tim, I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to what I said right before we went to break.
Well, look, I think I just want to, conclude that conversation is one of the things, and again, we're talking about your claims experience. One of the things, an initiative we're taking at the department is more education, insurance education for the consumer, because I think just like the experience that you went through and many go through, the more that you as a consumer know what your rights are and what expectations are through the claims process, the better prepared you will be and the smoother your claims will be. So we're in the process of preparing some information and kind of educational videos and materials to help people understand how insurance works and what they should expect. And I think that is part that goes hand in hand with, again, having good consumer protection laws as well, and making sure that insurance companies are standing up and doing what they're supposed to do. So that hasn't been done, I don't think. I don't know if it's ever been done through the Department of Insurance, but it's something that I've asked my coworkers to take the initiative and start to do.
You had made a statement earlier, and it's why we got into a little bit of this debate on the topic of whether or not it's just, kind of binary. When I said a lot of times we drill us down to an us versus them kind of mentality. Can you give me an example of one where the insurance company is going to take a position on something that that you think makes the claimant whole?
Oh, well, I mean, when I say binary, I mean it's if you attend these hearings, whether it's during the last several months we've had or during a session when we're at the table trying to affect change. And look, I'm for change so that companies want to come back to Louisiana. That is my focus. I want consumers to have choice. And when the sides out there, whether it's the insurance company side or the attorney side or the consumer advocate side and even sometimes the consumers are out there, I mean, it becomes them versus the other side. And we kind of lose track of this is about us as consumers. This is about talking, exposing, bringing transparency to why we as consumers are paying these unaffordable premiums. And everybody wants to entrench and talk about how, if you do anything that harms my business model, then that helps the other side. What we're losing sight of, we're trying to help us as consumers, as citizens of Louisiana. I'm not interested in protecting, any particular business model. What I'm trying to do is make sure that we bring balance back to this system, because I maintain that we do not deserve to pay the highest auto rates in this country.
I would agree.
No indication, to your point, that our cars are not more expensive to buy and repair in this state versus others. Our medical bills should not be any more expensive. Your accident, I'm assuming you didn't get injured, and I'm glad you didn't.
But no, I did.
If you
had
been
injured, point.
That's
the point I was making.
But your medical component shouldn't be more expensive in Louisiana than if you had been injured in another state. Right now, the data suggests that it is. That's what we've got to get down to. And again, that's where, when we talk about the uncomfortable situations, people have to come to the table and defend why they're doing their business practice, whatever it is, whichever side it is, whether it's the insurance industry side or the people that do the repair work on your car or the people that repair your body. We need to talk about that, because all the numbers show that it's more expensive in Louisiana.
Well, but you see, Tim, there's a false premise there. So when you look at reasonable and customary charges in the medical world, they're done by regions in this country. And in some areas, there can be almost double-digit differences in reasonable and customary. So there are drivers where medical care is more expensive in some areas of the country than others. So much so that even Medicare and Medicaid take advantage of supply and demand as to what they're going to reimburse. And that flows through the entire cost structure of medical care in a particular region. So if we're having hearings and we're not bringing medical care experts from an industry level to talk about where we stand in the multiple regions in the state of Louisiana, because there's going to be a differentiation in reasonable and customary from the New Orleans area, which is some of the highest healthcare cost in the state of Louisiana, to Shreveport. And we have to recognize
those experts,
that
those people have been invited to those hearings.
I hope they have
been there.
Well, I mean, I think we have to make it our business, because we cannot overlook that. It is real. It's there. Everybody knows it. When we sat inside of the boardroom at East Jeff General Hospital, we looked at that quarterly. It went into our price structure, looking at reasonable and customary, what Medicare, how they treated our region, and as well as Medicaid. I mean, they have studies that are produced on this every quarter of every year. If we really want the information, we can get it and gain a better understanding of where we actually are. So when we compare ourselves to Oklahoma, it is not an apples-to-apples comparison, because medical costs in Oklahoma are going to be different than medical costs in the greater New Orleans area, the greater Lafayette area, the greater Baton Rouge area, Shreveport, and Monroe. And that's reality. I mean, take some time, if I may be so bold as to suggest, and sit down and have a back of the napkin calculation with a healthcare expert, and I think they're going to validate what I'm telling you right now. So it's not
as simple. So what you're suggesting is it is more expensive in Louisiana, and therefore we should expect to pay higher premiums.
Yeah. And that's why I brought up work comp, and I know that you know work comp well. I know your dad knew work comp better than probably anybody in the country, and it's why the whole impetus for the creation of LWCC in this state was why. We were so out of bounds on work comp in this state that it took a shock and awe response and government to go get involved in LWCC and the creation of SAME. And I think, if my memory serves me correct, it was your father's brain trust behind that. But the fact of the matter is that when we do the comparison there, you're going to start finding structures that are all embedded into this whole thing. And that's why I'm saying it's just not simply insurance company claim it. And consumers fall into two different categories, right? There are those that are paying premiums that have insurance. Actually, three categories. There are consumers that drive around this state without insurance. And, so then we have to hit our uninsured motorists. And I'd be curious as to the differentiation between Oklahoma and Louisiana as to uninsured motorists. I would venture to say we are out of whack statistically against most others in this country. And those that are consumers who ultimately end up being claimants. And once you cross that line from being just a general consumer to being a claimant, you have a whole different perspective.
Well, no, this isn't claimant. I think we need to set that right. Well, I'm not talking about the fact that you've been injured or you've been in a car wreck and your vehicle's been damaged. You need to be compensated. You need to be made whole. That has not changed. What we're talking about are the economics are beyond that, and that's sure. Where we're trying to get to. So let's make sure that's we're on the same page.
No, I agree. I'm just saying that when we talk about consumers, what I'm saying is when we talk about consumers in a general sense, there really is a more, in a macro sense, there is a really a more micro perspective about consumers, because they fall in multiple categories: uninsured, insured, and insured claimants. And there are a lot of different perspectives that are brought, you know, to the table. The same way when we look at all of the supply chain issues that impact all of these services that you receive, whether it's on personal injury side or whether it's on the property damage side, that influence the cost of goods sold and the cost of personal services to potential to insurance companies in order to make claimants whole. And unless and until we gain a better understanding of that, these comparisons that we're making in a macro sense, that's an easy way to do certain things without, that's the what, it's the outcome, it's not the why. And we want to know, why are we driving the numbers to where we're driving them to in this state? And just my own humble opinion.
You and I agree. I want to get to the why.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I don't disagree with you. I think you do. And I love having this conversation with you, and I love that you're willing to participate in this conversation. And I hope that members of the state legislature are actually listening, because I think a lot of times we get into these hearings and we get caught up in this macro ideological BS that is of no value at the end of the day. We get further and further away from reaching the why, because we're all caught up at that 100,000-foot level, and we need to get down a little deeper and scratch the surface a little deeper in order to get what I think are going to be relevant answers to these questions. I cannot thank you enough, Tim, for joining us. I always enjoy this conversation and your willingness to do so as well. We really appreciate your time and your insight, and have a great weekend.
Look, glad to be here. Thank you. And just to leave you with one thing, Louisiana's the second highest premium tax in the country.
Yep. All righty. We'll be right back. Talk more about that next time. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. So a lot of folks are responding to the conversation, and each of them have their own kind of spin or belief as to what's driving insurance premiums in this state. And I like Tim, I just want to have a robust conversation about it, a full-fledged thing. I don't want this to turn into this ideological warfare. I want to dig down into the details and find out exactly why the differences and the approach. And I can't help but talk about folks that I've talked to that represented auto insurance companies, that represented homeowners insurance companies, and about a different perspective and a different way of handling claims in this state. And we have a bad reputation, and as such, you have to jump more hurdles and provide more evidence of this, that, or otherwise as it relates to any number of things. But I also know that there are cost factors that make a difference. I have a body shop owner that just responded saying, I don't know what the argument is because the insurance companies tell us what they are going to pay. That's true in some cases. Well, what was interesting is that in my case, the insurance company said this is what they're going to pay. Unfortunately, the number ended up being 2/3 higher because they didn't even come out and look at the vehicle. They looked at pictures and gave their estimate of what they thought they were going to end up paying. I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? This is the way that the approach is going to be? And they sent a preliminary estimate. And then, you go back and forth as it relates to this, that, or otherwise. Sometimes they go out, sometimes they don't. And, then we have a supplemental that we have to go through. Meanwhile, we're waiting for the approval of this so that we can get the parts, get the car. They put me in a rental car that is less than the car that I had that was damaged. They want to argue with me about that. I said, well, if I wanted that size car, I would have purchased that size car. And now that your client has damaged my property, now I'm inconvenienced with having to drive less than. That is not making me whole. And I don't think it's unreasonable. A lot of people are motivated to buy cars for safety factors, this, that, and otherwise. And they're willing to spend their hard-earned money in order to do it. And they should not be told by an insurance company that all of that is for naught and is meaningless, because we're going to put you in a car half the weight, half the size. Your day rate of what you're paying on your car finance and everything else may be X, and the cost of that rental is X minus whatever, because you're not getting anything close to your car. And we are looked upon as being greedy when we say, well, wait a minute. I bought this size car for a whole host of reasons. I don't want to spend a month and a half driving this car that you want to give me that's half the size of the car that I've grown accustomed to driving. And we're unreasonable. And the beneficiary is the guilty party who decided that they were going to run a red light for whatever reason and knock the front of your car off. It's like, I'm not getting it. I'm not connecting these dots. Are you? Because I'm not. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.